Policy Committee meeting for the Yorkville Public Library. Today is August 27th, 2020. We'll go ahead and do a roll call.
Yes. Garcia?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Brennage? Brendage?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes.
Thank you.
Great. Recognition of visitors. There are, yes, Lisa, the director. Any amendments to the agenda? Nope. Any public comment? None. Staff comment? Okay. So, new business. Approved personnel policies and procedures for COVID. So, I know that Elisa has sent us over a draft of some of the things that she's been working on.
This is the revised one. And basically what the directors came together and compiled this as a template. And that's what we have here. Darren reminded me to bring down the flow chart too. Mm-hmm. These are all procedures. They're not really policy. What the libraries are doing, they're approving these as procedures. Mm-hmm. But they're not policies to go in the manual.
The reason I thought that we needed to do this is because when I see return to school or workflow, I want to make sure that if we're following this, we really need to make sure that everything is here so that if something happens, we have documentation that says we follow this procedure and at least it's laid down. It's there. We know what it is, and we can at least peruse it. We can make some edits to it and make sure that everything flows properly. There's nothing that is contradictory inside here.
And we've had two incidents so far with staff being exposed to other people that had to go get tested.
So our staff had to go get tested? Did our staff have to go get tested, or the other person got tested?
The other person got tested.
They found out they were negative, and then our staff came back.
And they were both at schools, so when the schools cleared the other person to go back, that was good enough for us to have our staff member come back.
Okay.
And Elisa, would you mind mentioning, I know you said this was an updated version from the last one.
The only thing that changed was down there where it says Midland. I replaced at Yorkville Public Library on footnote number 3. That's the only change.
Oh, okay. Got it. So everything else is the same for what was sent.
Okay, this new EPSLA.
And I changed some of it, would say library administration, because we it's just library director, so I changed that to library director.
Okay, these 1 hour rapid tests, I wish that we had I don't know that everybody's, that's good, because I'm like, aren't these tests not as accurate as some of these other ones?
The rapid was not as accurate as
the test. Yeah, we actually listed out to say you can't use that as a...
Because they can come back as a false positive or false negative.
Can I ask a quick question? So if you test positive, it's only 10 days?
Only 12.
No, it's 10.
10?
CDC is 10. And then
if you're positive, I know it says 10 if you're asymptomatic,
right.
And it's 10 if you're positive. With symptoms? I thought it was longer if you had symptoms. No?
Mm-hmm.
It changes so much every day. I can't. I'm not going to tell you I know what the CDC said.
I have one here.
I know there's the 10-14 rule. Right.
Right. Oh, it's 14. Oh, that's if you.
That's if you're exposed to somebody, and so if your contact tracing, it says,
you should isolate for 14.
You have to isolate for 14.
There were other questions that come up too. That, you know, are you going? If someone vacations and goes to a hot spot, how do you?
Yes.
See, that's what I was saying too. Because there were some places that, like other places, said if you go there and you're vacationing, you should quarantine for 2 weeks when you come back.
And that's only for the city of Chicago.
The city of Chicago, yeah.
Right, that doesn't
yeah, that's not something we don't have to require that. Some places do,
right.
Some don't. Because like when I vacationed, I was still very safe when I vacationed.
And then I could have penalized the staff member for being honest as to where they really
exactly, because other people would just lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, I mean, that gets too
and we are doing the temperature checks every morning, so.
Okay.
Good. And they're doing the self, did we do a self questionnaire too?
Right? We have a system for a symptom list too,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah. Our staff knows if they're sick, they stay home.
Yeah.
So far, we haven't had any problems.
So, in the case of the two people who had potential contact, they just stayed home until they got
right.
word that they're
not
in there. Yeah. Got it.
2 days before the other person was cleared.
Mm-hmm.
The person, our staff person that ended up going for testing, she had been sick the week before with extreme headaches, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor sent her for the test. She couldn't come back till after I had a test.
Yeah.
No, I never saw the test, but I got the facts from the doctor.
Well,
it's
yeah.
Return to work.
Sure.
Because it says that test or a note from your doctor saying
yeah.
you're clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. It's about to get here. They should fill this out too if they have to stay home because of contact with somebody else. Wait, I'm sorry, I'm confused by this. Employees who are quarantined due to close contact with the infected employees should seek medical attention and or a COVID-19 test. However, a negative test or a release from the provider will not allow the employee to come back before the 14-day period has expired?
Why?
So I say Sue thinks she's infected. Or is infected. This is if somebody else at the job is infected. And I was kind of like within 2 feet of her for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I get a negative test and my doctor says I can go back to work, I still can't for 14 days. That's how I'm reading this.
Me too.
I think that's the contact tracing rule.
Contact tracing?
But I thought the contact tracing rule was
results,
you get tested, and as long as the test came back negative...
But then it falls within that. If you get tested early,
too soon.
Right, exactly.
It will not.
But 14 days is a long time.
It is, but that's what
that's the CDC guideline for.
Yeah.
That one is. The 14-day expire. Because what happens is if someone gets someone was infected, they get in close contact, and they go right away and get a test, it might be a false negative or it's too soon.
Right, you need several days for the symptoms for it to even have enough in your system. But
and so the only reason why the two staff people could come back is that the person was negative. So had that person been
positive.
No, if they're positive, they can come back in 10 days. That's what's confusing to me. Earlier in the thing, it says employees who test positive may return to work at least 10 days.
After
10 days.
After...
With symptoms, may return to work after at least 10 days have passed since symptom onset. With release from a healthcare provider. Meanwhile, I was just close to somebody. I probably don't even have it because I was wearing my mask, but I can't come back
to
work.
It's
the time to see if you get infected.
Right, exactly. The extra time on that one is because the virus has not been detected yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't you see people being like, wait, I was only maybe within 2 feet of her. I probably don't even have it because we were both wearing masks. I just happened to be a little bit closer. And I'm out of work longer than...
Right.
Right, but it's just to make sure that the symptoms don't come up within that certain time frame. Because I think it's after 7 days that you get tested or 5 days? I mean, it begins to show up in your system? If you've been
no, I think it's three to five. Mm-hmm. 3 to 5 days from when you were exposed. So if you go the very next day,
so that means
not,
on the sixth day, seventh day, they go to test it. They still have to have that extra time to, quarantine just in case they are or not.
So I think a negative test or a release from the provider will not allow the employee to come back before the 14-day period
has expired.
For 14 days. Mm. 14 calendar days?
Yeah.
Yes.
Copy.
Mm-hmm. The other question is,
should
is
we spell
this
that out?
An application for emergency paid sick leave, or is this application? Is that?
Yeah.
What application? We don't have
it. Yeah, I was wondering about what.
It's just, there's a law.
Where is that?
There should be a link to get to the application, right?
When we were doing the actual thing, I think I sent a little
check. Yeah, we need to make sure we give that, or at least that link. Can we say 14? Do we not need to say that because the 14-day period is understood? Sometimes I just want to be very clear.
Well, I mean, it's also referring back to the CDC, right? On here. Like number one. Protocols of synthesis of guidance from CDC, IDPH, Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity.
This EPLSA is coming up a lot. Do we only report to Kendall County if it's multiple people? Or is each case supposed to be reported to Kendall County Health Department?
I would think each case.
Okay. It just said if multiple employees report symptoms, the library will make a... You see what I mean? It made it seem like we're only going to do it if there's multiple people. It's not stated under if an employee tests positive.
So one of the bullets is just the library will report to Kendall County Department of Public Health. It's like the third bullet down.
Yeah, I see it now. I really read right past it. So,
but it doesn't say for what. It says the library will make a report
that an employee, because it's referring to if an employee tests positive. It's referring to the.
Oh, there it is. It's a continuation of that.
Yeah, it's a continuation. So it's actually the fourth bullet.
Yeah.
So saying if somebody from here tests positive, we will tell the county.
Yeah.
And then if multiple people, we will continue to tell the county and seek further guidance.
Now this talks about library employees. What do we do if there's a known case of public coming in here and the staff is exposed?
How would we know?
But I mean, what if through
contact tracing, they call you and say this person, and they sat at a computer or something like that. I think we'd follow the rules because it would be this. If it's been less than 24 hours since the person is visited, you would clean. If it's been more than 7 days, there's nothing you can do now. Whatever they touch is dead.
Mm-hmm. This IPSLA, is this an acronym from, are we talking about the paid sick leave?
Emergency
paid
sick
leave.
Yeah.
Because that one's called the
Act.
The FFCRA Act. And that's the one that's the employee, it says the employee paid sick leave and extended family for medical leave.
Well, they got this name from somewhere. I wonder where, because they call it EPSLA with an A sometimes, but then it's EPSL on this last page.
Well, it's the act. The A is
the act, right?
And
But where is that at? We need to find it.
That's what I'm looking now, because I know the other one, the FF.
Was this acronym, Lisa, taken from Northbrook Library or Evergreen? Is that where you...
Yeah. Well, they sent it out. They compiled it, then everybody else adapted it to their libraries.
Are we thinking about turning this document into a flowchart?
Okay.
This is really
easy to
follow.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is what we're following.
We're going,
this is what the attorney gave out to the director.
Okay.
And that's what we're following.
We need to make sure that this and this gel.
Yeah, yeah. Except for not knowing what this EPSLA is. I like this document.
It's the EFFCRA. That's the one that I know. It's the Emergency Family First, you know, it's an act they passed due to the coronavirus that's made for the emergency paid sick leave. Let me see.
So it's EFFC.
Yeah,
is that?
Maybe this,
again.
Okay. March 14th. That's the HR 6201. Among these, the building that's for this, the target related to this. First thing is the eternity off. Okay. That one temporarily mandates the workers be paid their full wages for up to 2 weeks. Okay, so that was fine. They don't have it as F, but they spelled it out. And then the second component is the FMLA and then the EFMLA, the Emergency Family Medical Leave Expansion. So, okay. That's EFSA's proposed, it's a temporary law.
Okay, so
that was a temporary.
And that's Illinois. It is an Illinois law, right? Mm-hmm.
This is from the federal government.
It is from all federal? Okay.
So that is when it becomes law and how long after this. And that only goes into effect until
December 2020.
So I mean that's just for now due to the coronavirus. But the first law of the year before that would be the FMLA, but because of the situation with this, they came up with this emergency paid sick leave. So we have to take into consideration that this will expire in a couple of months.
In December.
Mm-hmm. So then we're going to have to come back and revisit this to see if there is going to be any changes. It's okay for now.
It says here, though, request of the board to pay employees sick time even if not covered by the EPSLA or the personal policy handbook.
Well, if it's coronavirus, it has to be this particular one. Because this is the one that pertains to emergency. This is an emergency mm-hmm. out of work. Mm-hmm. This is not like an FMLA.
So what is that called that you can find?
No, this is in here.
It is emergency paid sick leave? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But it expires. It expires in December.
And this is the cover that especially the part-time employees here because they don't get sick time. Right.
And this is fine for now because this is only for those that need time off that are related to coronavirus related reasons. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. But it will expire. We're going to have to see if they come up with a new law after this. If they extend it, but for right now, it's okay. Mm-hmm. This is a second component to the FMLA because normally we have the FMLA, but because it's coronavirus, they created this particular law. For emergency. So that's fine. I just want to make sure.
Okay, can I ask a question so that this flow chart and this are gelling?
Okay.
So the first thing even though it's not in the same order in this document, it's in here. So the individual who had close contact with someone who tested positive or is suspected of having may return after a 14-day quarantine period from date of last contact. Here, we have the same thing. Must quarantine 14 days from their most recent contact. And should seek medical attention and or COVID test. Except here it doesn't say that. And can they return in 14 days without seeing anyone?
No.
She's saying that.
This doesn't say that they must. It says should seek medical attention and or COVID test. However, a negative test doesn't even allow you to come back. You still have to stay for 14 days.
Well, they're quarantined for 14 days and they're clear.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Can I just quarantine for 14 days and then come back? Because then this flow chart is correct.
Can we just
take it out? Can we just take out the should seek?
No, that's good to have in this. You should see. I mean, if you come in close contact with someone, this is a more thorough version. This is the user-friendly. I just wanted to make sure that, because this was saying should, not must, and this didn't mention it, because this is just like, you can't come back for 14 days.
No, I don't think this one we're going to use. She just, that was just
guidance. This is just for guidance. This isn't my document to, we can't revise this. It's not our document.
Oh, the July, the flowchart.
I'm not going to steal an attorney.
It's from an attorney, though, that was provided to the library director. Oh, it wasn't. I thought you said it was supplied.
Somebody had gotten it from an attorney and shared it with the directors.
Oh,
it's probably the attorney of somebody's library.
Oh.
Okay.
It's not our attorney.
I think that this is good because it gave you guidance to this. This is here, this is here, then we can put
it's just easy to follow.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we did.
Well, you can follow this on your own, but then we still have this as our documentation for the library. Okay, so then the second part says employees who are quarantined due to close contact, when persons work home are feasible, if the work home is unfeasible, they should fill out an application for more security. Is there other things that could be this?
Things.
Mm-hmm.
However, the CDC website, updated as of August 27, 2020, has a COVID return to work flowchart.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. I kind of feel like it might behoove us if we use what the CDC has and print and provide that.
Except they change it every week.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
isn't there more risk in us interpreting? I mean, I'm not a legal person.
No, I think that she's not. If this is based on what I've read, this is following, but we can attach, I think we should attach that to it.
Sure.
But based on all the things that I've read, and this one I have here, which has changed from what you see, what she has, this is back from a couple of weeks ago. I think it was probably maybe June, months ago. I think we have to spell it out like this for the book. And then, Julie, we can attach the actual CDC if you send her the link.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should look at the link and make sure that...
Which one are you looking at?
Well, I just Googled CDC...
Are you looking at the...
Hang on. CDC return to school work following COVID. And... COVID-19 operational considerations. Oh, yeah.
Turn to work CDC? That's the one you're looking at?
Oh, well, this is for specific to healthcare
from
workers.
3 days, yeah. That was healthcare workers.
Healthcare
here's one
workers.
That's...
Okay.
That's,
so maybe that's different. Okay.
This is almost exactly the same, except for here. I've just read through, like, I'm reading through one row at a time. This thing says, if you come close contact, 14 days. It says, if you test positive and had symptoms, the 10 days, and you have to be like fever-free and all that, or you have to get a test. Then the one where it says, but had no symptoms, 10 days. The only thing is this one says, 10 days, and it, like, you should still get a thing that says or, but that's still fine. This one is the one that has the problems. Like, at our school, individuals exhibit one or more symptoms of COVID, but is not suspected. You have to have a doctor's note or a negative test. This one just says may be possible to return in fewer than 10 days after onset of symptoms and 72 hours fever-free. And that's where it should say with a doctor's note or negative test. Instead, it says recommend evidence. It's the fourth column in the flow chart. So I just read through each row in the flow chart to see if it gelled with this policy.
Do we have this one here?
And they do, except for this one. We say if you have any symptoms.
What page?
It's the very first page. Okay. It says if an employee has symptoms on the employee health checklist, which is basically this. If you have any of these symptoms that look like COVID-19, RSA, employees should seek a medical diagnosis either through a testing site and or their primary care physician. The employee cannot return to work. Here they're like, you could maybe come back. We suggest you do some other stuff. Okay.
I'd rather use our version.
You see what I mean? This is more clear, like, you can come back as long as you can prove it's not COVID, it's something else. Right. This one's like, you could maybe come back, so this is why this is better. Because it's clear.
Do we agree on the first page? Anything good? Everything
I read through the whole thing. I think the whole thing is good.
Second page?
I read through that one. I think it's good, too. We don't have anything about travel is the only thing that...
Yeah, and what will happen if someone travels?
And that's actually on here.
It's on here, but it's not in ours at all.
Correct. So my guess is that we should use this, or we need to develop our own.
We don't need this.
We have this policy.
And just go off of this.
Now, if you want to create a cheat sheet like this, based on what we have, just make sure it says what ours says.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that.
I agree.
But, you can create a cheat sheet. I can create a cheat sheet pretty easily because this is almost exactly what ours is until they get to this fourth column and the fact that we have nothing about travel in ours.
I have a question on the last page. So then the first one on the facility solution, so then if it has been moved, the last bullet point under the first heading facility consideration. Mm-hmm. So if it has been more than 7 days since the person was suspected, confirmed COVID, visited, or used the facility, we don't disinfect at all?
It doesn't need to be. It's dead. It dies a little bit more each day. That's why, like, we only have to quarantine our books for 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
They just changed it now.
What did they change it to?
Rail just came out yesterday.
But is it based off the M?
Back to seven.
Why?
So we're back to seven. Because
Students are never going to get books.
Because Rails said that they didn't want the book. They wanted their materials going back quarantined for 7 days. So in order not to say 3 days for this, 4 days for board books.
Oh, but that's not what the CDC, that's not what the study recommends. That's just what Rails is telling people.
Rails said that they're going with 7 days.
Okay.
Like,
they just wanted to keep one consistent number.
We're going back to seven now.
But I read the study, and regular paper is three. Glossy, which a lot of, like, I cover every hardcover book in our library, magazines, board books, those are all four. And then there's things like CD cases, because you use more CD cases, DVD cases, those are like 5 to 6, so they just bump it. But we're really only circulating books and magazines, so I just went with four. And it was hard, like, trying to explain to my sister. She goes, oh, so if it comes in on Monday, it goes back out on Friday. I said, no, count 4 days. If it comes in on Monday, it has to sit Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can't check it until Monday. She's like, I'm going to get this. So we had to make, like, she was like, so in Monday, out there. I said, in Monday, it doesn't get checked in till the next Monday almost. Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, she can check it in on Friday. She can check it in on Friday because that is the fourth day. So it is really hard. And then we have a public library, so they have to wait. There's more hands touching everything. But the actual study is several days depending on the material. So that's going to be a long wait for people.
It is what it is.
So this is, okay, so we're under the EFSA allows us to pay up for the 2 weeks. And then it says certain other reasons taking the U.S. Act for an individual has been ordered to quarantine or care for a child, school, or daycare. But you know there are other things that can cover them too. Besides that, if someone is a family member has been ordered to stay at home by a doctor, then they can still be paid because they have to be there to be there with the children. She has that. If the employee needs to care for the following family members who are either self-isolating or need to see a doctor, and employees are ordered to stay home by a doctor. So we have that quarantine for caring for a child from school or daycare. So we're only paying for them if they are ordered to quarantine for caring for a child or daycare.
Where are you seeing that?
We request the board to pay for it.
Hey, where do you see
under the
epsilon 0.3?
That's epsilon. That's not us. She's saying if they don't get paid under epsilon and need pay,
okay.
These are the circumstances with which they would go before the board.
Right, but still under epsilon.
But the school and child still is part of that law, isn't it?
I mean, under epsilon, so the section 0.3. What if it's a spouse?
Yes,
or
I'm just reading that.
Elder parent that lives with you that.
It's covered.
But it only calls out kids, right?
No.
No, it says caring for an individual who has been ordered to quarantine or caring for a child whose school or daycare, probably that sentence didn't get finished, whose school or daycare has closed or
probably, right.
Entitled the employee to 2/3 of their pay. So if they have to stay home to care for somebody else, they only get 2/3.
Is that law, though?
That's the EPSLA saying.
I'm looking at it. Hold on. I want
to
make sure.
Oh, right, that we're listing it properly. But that sentence is not finished, right?
Because they can care for any of the following family members. They can care for a parent, a spouse, children under 18, disabled, regardless of the age. The employee needs to care for a child because daycare school is closed.
Oh, that's the word, has closed. We just need to add has closed.
They have to care for any of the following members who are either isolating or need to see a doctor or experiencing symptoms. It can be a parent, spouse, child, whoever. Regardless of age.
Then what does it say is it their benefit?
Well, this is under EPSA.
Yeah, what does the EPSA say their benefit is? Yeah.
Okay, for 1 through 3, for treatment events, so for if they have to self-quarantine and they want to go to the doctor and they have to stay by, order to stay by a doctor, the employee needs to pay the employee the regular rate of pay. So that's the regular, if they have to self-quarantine to go see a doctor.
Right.
And
100%.
That's 100%. If it's a spouse or a child, yep, 2/3.
2/3. The only thing we need to add is has closed, is entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some letters missing.
A D,
is, titles, and then a D, and entitled.
And then closed after daycare.
Yeah, so it should say, all reasons listed here qualify the employee for 100% of their pay. Certain other reasons for taking leave under this act, such as caring for an individual who has been ordered to quarantine or caring for a child whose school or daycare has closed, comma, is entitled, so it needs is and a D, or, entitles with an S.
Mm-hmm.
Entitles the employee to 2/3 of their pay.
Here's the other thing about part-time employees. 2/3 of their pay. Employees must determine the hourly. We know that. If the employee never started working before they became sick, employers must provide a number. Okay, not that. If EPSA leave is no longer needed by the employee, benefits cease on the next regular scheduled payday. That's fine.
But it's only for 2 weeks.
What is the limit of this?
2 weeks.
Total for
right, so that's why they have this additional thing.
That's right.
If employees exhaust their EPSLO under one instance covered by this protocol and are again, so like their spouse gets it,
mm-hmm.
and then their kids get sent home,
mm-hmm.
and they have young children, so they need another 14 days, because for us in your list, another 10 days you got to be home, they can ask us to pay them, us the board, to
right.
come out of our budget
yes.
to pay them, because part-timers don't have any
right.
sick days.
So you can only apply for EPSLO once?
Let me see.
It says if they exhaust it.
You can only, you think someone has a maximum of 14
days.
Per
go back.
Application or per?
The benefits. Go back.
Per calendar, you know, like
it doesn't specify the calendar year. It
mm-hmm.
just says, "Oh,
I mean,
year."
It ends in December, so it's probably totally, you know, for the
oh,
yeah, it's probably just until that. Yeah, it doesn't specify here. Let me go back to my other HR and see.
Right, so like what happens with the person?
Yeah. I was in close contact with somebody. I've already done this, stayed home, applied, got my 14 days, and then hanging out with a friend who later found out that they were positive or thinks they're positive. While we wait for their test to come back, I'm thinking I shouldn't come to work. What do I do for the next week?
Now, does EPSLA, when they say 14, are they saying 14 days? Is that 14 scheduled days of pay?
That's 2 weeks of pay.
For a full-timer.
For the full-timer. So
and except for part-time, is their regular pay.
Yeah, average of hours.
Let me go back to this.
Yeah, it said that somewhere. Where was that at?
Second bullet down from what EPSLA allows.
Yeah, over a two-week period.
It's just a temporary rule. Provides direction for administration for them, which requires some employees provide up to 80 hours of paid sick leave. You know, for certain specified reasons related to COVID.
So, Elisa, is the request to the board to pay indefinitely? Or up until what point? If...
To the point that they can come back to work.
You mean past those...
To me, it sounds like if they adhere to this, so say they got exposed a second time, they've exhausted the EPSLA money... Say, then so on their second time of having to do this, they have to come to the board and say, per the procedure, which maybe is a policy, because this is money. This may have to go to policy, become a policy.
Let me read what this says here. It says, in this. The leave provisions are created by the time limit statutory authority established under the FFCRA and is set to expire in December. The temporary rule is operational in April, is effective April 2nd, through December. The temporary rule issues a relevant administration to do the paid leave. Someone was caring for, went through all those. And then it says, provides direction for the effective administration of the Emergency Family and Medical Leave Expansion Act, which requires employers provide up to 10 weeks of paid and 2 weeks unpaid emergency family medical leave to eligible employees if the employee is caring for his son, daughter, school, place care is closed.
So 10 weeks of pay?
But that's not...
That's the other one.
That's not for part-time people.
No, this is full-time. Part-time people is two-thirds. But that this was created... There's an expansion also. According to the
but who's that applied to?
This is the Department of Labor that I'm looking at.
The employers are supposed to cover 10 weeks?
So it says, I'm going to have to go back and...
Do we have disability?
Do we offer that to employees?
Disability for full-time people.
So full-time people would use their disability.
They could use the FMLA and the disability.
Yeah, the part-time people get no benefits. It's straight hourly salary.
And so they would have to have their own disability past this 2 weeks. I mean, they put this in place because they don't have those protections.
Right.
And so unless you pay for your own, like, AFLAC or something like that, even that went through your employer, though.
Yeah, they,
Can part-time people even get AFLAC?
No.
I don't think so.
They can't get benefits. They can't even pay for benefits if they wanted to.
Unless they come private on their own, but not through... That's usually through an employer.
Yeah. Something is just telling me that if we, and so I'm just going to talk out loud here. I'm not saying this is the right thing, but I just want to think about this the right way. If we start paying sick time to people, now we have to be the shepherds of, well, why is it sick time, right? So you've got a couple of situations listed down here. You get some other person who's like, well, wait a second. I want you to pay for my sick time for X, Y, or Z. I think it's different from the COVID pay practices that we put in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, when we start getting into a place where we don't offer the benefit as a regular employee, and then we move to, but we're going to pay you some sick time, especially with no guardrails around, like, one additional week or two additional weeks.
Oh, you mean
weeks.
Outside of the 2 weeks? That's what you mean, outside of the outside of...
Well, EPSLA, they would be approved,
right,
and they get paid,
right,
and that's it. But if they're exhausting that and they need more, I just don't know as a board what, like, I just don't know. I want to do the right thing, obviously, but I also need
documentation.
We need to protect us.
But here's the thing is that
documentation, they will have to provide.
If we're talking about something that this is a procedure, we need to have this rolled in somehow into a policy as well, because when you're talking about money, you can't have a procedure that doesn't have somewhere in the policy to endorse it.
Mm-hmm.
And say that this can be allowed.
Right.
Yeah.
So there has to be a policy that says that this procedure is used.
Elisa, in our policy manual, do we have a pay practices policy?
I have
that
right here. Make copies.
I always bring my
because maybe we don't need to create a whole pop, but maybe we can amend it to include.
I always bring my thick binder with me.
I just took the page.
Thank you for doing that.
Sure.
Because you knew it would come up, right?
Yeah.
Just in case. As librarians, they're always prepared.
That's
except I forgot the tape recorder.
That's all I'm asking. Good time.
Thank you. Okay. So, the sick time.
But see, this is only for full-time employees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And part-time employees wouldn't even see this. So they would have to be just under that rule of the...
They try to get the EPSLA and...
And then after that, mm-hmm. it would have to be on a case-by-case basis. You know, I would have to say...
So
now listen, I just started working for you, and we had a lot of people who just started working. Well, they're all part-time.
We had five just started this.
But they're all part-time. I was just saying, like, if you had a full-time person who just started, they wouldn't even have accrued enough sick days, because you get one every month.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even have accrued enough sick days to take...
A sick time.
The sick time if their kid's school said you can't come back for 10 days.
And this is why
that's the equivalent of like a week and a half. So they would have to apply for EPSLA, which would have covered them for the 2 weeks in case they didn't have the sick time at work yet. But then your kid is still sick, or your kid does not get better in 10 days, you are out. You don't have enough sick days at work, and you've used up your 2 weeks at EPSLA. Like, even if I was a full-time person and I need to stay home with my kid, is that when I would use disability?
Well, we say somewhere in here that you could work from home. And if you
can. If it's feasible.
If feasible. And if you
can't. Which is part of our policy for mass contagion.
Right.
But maybe we just need to add on to that this procedure for the time of coronavirus.
Yeah.
What's that?
I'm still reading to make sure.
And so the request, I'm just trying to again understand this request to the board. So person, so Julie has a situation where I have to be out of work for this COVID thing. I'm a full-timer. I apply for EPSLA, I use it, and I need more. Or I have another occurrence that says I need to do this again, but I can't get more EPSLA. So then do we turn to the board first, or do I go to my sick time?
Your sick time.
Right, so we have to exhaust
the sick time.
I exhaust my sick time and EPSLA.
Well, then you also have vacation time.
And that's what they should be doing if they're full time.
That's
however,
with FMLA.
This is
so
really not full time people. This is, I woke up and I have a headache. I had COVID 2 months ago, used up my 2 weeks. I woke up and have a headache, and I should not go to work with a headache, but I'm going to lose my day's pay. If I don't go to work, will the board pay me? And my slippery slope, if we start saying, you had a headache and we didn't want you to come in.
Yeah.
Somebody else woke up with a stomach ache and they stayed. Because it was like, it says if an employee had close contact, no, not that, it's the middle bullet. It's they experienced a symptom like a COVID-19, even though it's not. And just due to abundance of caution, they stay home. Can you see that like... Racking up.
And Elisa, I would hate for you to be in the position of the one who has to make the consultation and decision to tell this person to stay home, yes or no. I know you have that outlined here in points 2 and 3.
What page are
you? The last page.
The last page. So if an employee experiences a symptom very likely to be to COVID,
a non-COVID
reason, a known allergy or a migraine,
yeah,
but who, in consultation with the director, has decided to stay home out of an abundance of caution. But we're not doctors.
That person would be given the option of making up the time if they wanted to work it, make up that time and not get paid, you know, so they don't lose the hours.
Request to board.
Yes, but we wouldn't pay them.
So then there's no request to. That would be our policy. Instead of a request to pay them sick time, we would just tell them, make up the hours on Saturday.
That's what we've always done.
Right, so then if you tell them to stay home today, you just cover. Like, so they don't need to be, that shouldn't be listed here as a, we'll give them the 5 hours. Because they're getting to stay home even though they literally have an allergy headache that they'll feel better in an hour. But when they, you know, like at that time when they were supposed to come to work, they had a headache, so they don't come. We pay them the 5 hours.
They should take a sick day.
Yeah, they would be told that they can make up their time.
That's what she. So that should. Then they shouldn't be here. Does that make sense? That
you
bullet shouldn't be here.
One. I don't want that one. The request with the board, because I've been on webinars where people have said that people have come in and started to say. There was one of them with two attorneys talking about COVID and how. Companies are having to deal with. People say, oh, I feel this way, and I think this. And so we don't, not saying that our employees would do that, but still, we don't want to give them the reason to say that I think.
And I think it's perfectly fine that we have, the ability to use your discretion and say, you know what, as the director, I understand you're in this situation, and I understand you can't come in today, and we don't want you here if you're not feeling well, but...
Well, it's usually the manager will discuss with the staff, and then the staff, the manager will discuss it with you.
Manager, director, using their discretion.
We had a situation a month or two ago, where an employee was here working, and it was the day that it was 94 degrees in the building, and she wasn't feeling well, and she went home. The manager asked if she would be paid for that, and I said yes, because it was conditions and she wasn't feeling well, so I had no problem.
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like this sick time, I'm not sure we...
I don't think so, because it opens up too much.
So we should just strike the second bullet?
I think all of this requests of the board
strike
today.
The section.
The second bullet for sure.
I'm fine with that, with striking the entire thing because this requires a pause.
Well, and if it was ultimately the right thing to do, and I don't mean like right, like I don't want to do right by the staff,
right.
Then we would, I totally agree, Darren, I think we would put in a policy, we would have to do that. But it doesn't sound like that's a
decision that we want to make.
And it's probably going to be revised and changed.
By December. We have to see what new laws come out.
So we should strike the entire thing.
Just that part.
Take the whole thing out.
That whole last section, yeah.
Let's work with
that. But I think the rest
first.
Of this is very...
Else is good.
So we still don't want to add anything about travel? Okay.
Nobody's
kind of like people for being honest.
There really are people still doing travel.
Yeah, I know.
I was about to say.
I've seen it all summer.
I don't mean domestic travel. I like that they said international travel. I still feel like...
Yeah, but they're not... Just like with the school. Not everybody forced to come
here. Some of the countries are better than our state, so...
We just have to do what we do to make sure that we cover ourselves.
So we're going to remove this, but...
This was just something for guidance. We're not using that at all.
Unless you want to create something like this from this.
I don't know how to do it.
Procedures don't have to be approved, so is it more just an awareness?
Just share it with us at the board.
The library's approved procedures.
It's not a policy, though. It's just a procedural.
We still want your whole board to be aware.
Yeah. I think since we had a meeting, we need to show what occurred at that meeting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't hurt to approve
that. No, it doesn't.
Sure.
I will also find out about the form for the emergency.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we should have that web address.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, the EPSLA.
Should we find the flowchart that the CDC has?
No, that one was for healthcare workers.
I think it was just for healthcare, Elisa. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought it was I mean, we could maybe do some.
It's so hard to navigate those sites.
Okay.
So hard.
Okay, so good.
So just the change would be on what the last page, adding.
Okay, that would have to be something
to the school daycare has closed and comes in 2:30.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep, that edit, and then...
Do you feel like... I totally understood this, but we sat here, we talked about it. Do you feel like, because this is something you should be giving to every employee. Managers, you don't have that many to sit and explain. Do you feel like, will our part-timers be confused by this document? And that's why I'm
totally
trying to...
I'm totally confused.
Okay, there's no form, but I'll create one for and send to everyone, the EFSLA request form. It's just something, because I can get those documents from...
What do you mean?
Tools for us. There's no form. You have to create your own.
You do.
What?
Yeah, I mean, you have to create your own.
But it says an application.
That's. I'm looking at several ones. I'm looking at several ones right now. It's
that scares me.
Emergency paid sick leave request form. Most companies, when you have policies and procedures, you don't always have an actual form. Forms are usually created by the HR.
But who's it submitted to? Who's paying that?
What? It's submitted to them.
Who is EFSLA?
EFSLA is just the law.
But
that we have to pay them?
So they submit it to her.
So
and we have to pay.
And then you have to, yes.
Oh.
Well, I thought this was federal funds paying people when they were out of work.
It just goes to HR.
It's a federal law. Okay, so that, I mean, that's...
Just
okay.
Like when you have FMLA,
HR
creates all the forms that relates to anything that deals with the federal state.
Then we definitely
from Evergreen or Northbrook, they've already done it.
Yeah.
So, I have a sample.
So then definitely we bring this to the board.
We're paying people 2 weeks worth of pay.
Anything that is money, we have to get approval on the board. We have to have board approval for any monetary changes.
So, the form, I think
we have a
clean
copy of this and the form.
Yes. I'll draft it tomorrow. And send it to everybody.
Okay, so there's nothing to approve tonight other than just some changes, and we'll bring it to the next board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on this?
Only...
She said her employees are going to need a flow chart.
Yeah.
But I don't think
Oh, I thought you were saying the part-timers, right? No.
Just confuse them.
Oh, okay.
We just handle everything individually.
Managers
deal with their staff.
They get trained,
okay.
And you show them, and then they don't want to have to disseminate the information to the other staff members.
Just, I take the stuff that's in here, that's superscript, that needs to be at normal.
What?
Number 3, where it says, it's in superscript, which is 3. Just bring it down. Just format.
That and the this and the number 1.
Yeah.
It just got made small.
Yeah.
Hey,
I
just took it off of there.
The details.
Oh, and it still says Evergreen.
Where?
In
number 1.
It still says Evergreen.
Yeah, because that's
just
it's modeled on the protocol.
Yeah,
the
part, sorry.
I changed 3 for our policy.
Okay.
Yeah, and then add the link in for EFSLA. I guess they want to read the law.
That was easy.
Okay. So, no executive session needed for tonight, and you're adjourned.
Yeah.
Perfect.